You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says in the first verse, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. And they didn't kill anybody. They just carried them away and went on their way." So I'm paraphrase here and skip down because, you know, we've kind of heard the story already. But anyway, David, he comes and, they're weeping. They're, sad times. You know, the Toy Story movie, the previews for one of the Toy Story movies that talks about, they're getting sent to the daycare. I think that's the one. But anyway, one of them's talking about, oh no, you know, all this is going to happen, you know, and it's I'm going to panic. He says, this is no time to panic. And the other guy says, it's a perfect time to panic. Yeah. So are we panicking? No, not yet. Yeah. But no, this is a perfect time to just wail and moan and sob and groan and for the devil to sneak in there and just say, you know, yeah, I got you now. Yeah, I got you. You know. Now look at all this, what's happened, you know. Boy, it's over now. It's over now. I got all your stuff, you know. But anyway, this is what they did. They wept and they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. They didn't have power to weep anymore. Have you ever been there? All right. David, and it says in verse 5, and David's two wives, I'm not even going to pronounce those for now. But anyway, these two wives have been taken captive. And it says, verse 6, and now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Mom was right. It's right here. Verse 6, I saw that. They were talking about stoning David. And because the soul of the people was grieved, you know, people do harsh things whenever they're grieved. You know, they can act sometimes out of full thought and focus of what's happening. You know, the man, their leader, the man who had led them into all these battles and helped them to be successful in all this time, you know, they want to kill this guy, you know. But anyway, it goes on, it says at the end of that verse, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I want to stop there because that's what we have to do. Yeah. Oh, you know, there's going to be times where we cry. There's going to be times where, you know, we're going to be, you know, grieved in our spirit. And I mean, our heart hurts. You know, I mean, our heart actually hurts inside of us. You know, we ache and our belly just, I mean, you know. But we've got to stop at some point here, okay? And we've got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, okay? We've got to stop and we've got to say, okay, now, it's a bad deal. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do here? And in every case, you need to say, what am I going to do with God in this situation? Because He is your strength. He is how you're going to overcome. He's how you're going to come out of the battle. He's how you're going to get your victory in the battle. And He's going to be the one that's going to get your stuff back for you. All right? But you're going to have a little faith in Him. So you're going to have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And, you know, we have a lot of references to how David would sometimes strengthen himself. And I think, you know, we all know what that is. He would sing and he would praise God and he'd worship God. And something David did all the time is he would remind himself and he would remind God who he was. You know, I think by reminding God who he was, reminded him of who God was for him. You know, God was his supply. He was his need meter. He was the one that brought him out of this battle and wrought this victory for him. And he was the one that helped him defeat Goliath. And you notice, whenever he was defeating Goliath, he was reminding himself of past victories. And when he talked to Saul, he says, look, let me tell you something. And this is another instance of recovering things. He says, let me tell you something, Saul. You don't have any clue here. You know, I was out keeping my sheep. And a lion, if a lion or a bear, and it's happened to me, okay, a lion and bear both, they've come up here to try to steal my sheep from me. Not my sheep. No way, Jose. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. This is my stuff. This is my property. God's blessed me with this, and I'm not going to let the devil come and take that away from me. I rose and I went after that bear and that lion, whichever it may be, and I took the lamb or the sheep back out of his mouth and got it back. And whenever he tried to attack me, he rose up and tried to attack me, I smote that joker. I killed him. dead. And the same God that delivered me out of the hand, or out of the paw of the lion, the mouth of the lion, the paw of the bear, whatever, that's the same God that's going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. That's in back up in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel here. He reminded himself of past victories, how God had blessed him, and how God had brought him through a battle and gave him a victory, and he got his stuff back. And in this case, he got a sheep back, you know, but he got strengthened. He got strong. He had another notch in his belt there to say, you know what, God already did that for me. I know he'll do this next thing for me. You know, and I know he'll do this for me because he did that for me already. Amen. He's building himself. He's strengthened himself. And I know that's what David's doing here. He's strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How many of you know who your God is? My Father. I know who he is. He's my Father. He's my Father God. And that guy, you know, I was watching with Sissy. I walked in. Sissy had turned on a show. We caught the end of the show, and it was a neat little show. I haven't watched many of them. I've seen a few of them, and generally always seem to catch the end of one. So, but the undercover bosses deal, where they go undercover and they, you know, they talk to their employees, you know, and they act like they're, you know, some guy that, like in this case, this guy was like an ex-criminal and he was getting a second chance at life, you know, and they're taking him out and he's going after, you know, he's a multimillionaire guy. He's got this spiked up yellow hair, you know, and, you know, they, of course, had to dress him up. But anyway, you know, it's kind of neat though, you know, he recognizes these good employees. And he's always around, and he hears these things they say, and he recognizes these employees that have got good hearts. Man, they've been working there for 20 years or so, you know. And they got good visions for the company, but, you know, they're nobody. They don't really realize they're talking to the man, you know. And they say, man, it'd be kind of neat, you know, if we could do this. I really think that, if we did this, this would really help our business. This would really help our association with the community, you know. I think it would help us with our people, our clients, you know. And boy, he's out there learning. That's what he's doing. But then in the end, you know, it's kind of neat. He'll go out and he'll reward these people. You know, I heard you talking about how you were wanting to get married, you know, and you didn't really have the money. So I'm going to give you $25,000 to go get married. Just go ahead and just have the wedding you want and the honeymoon you want to have. And I tell you what, you know, you had somebody else you mentioned in your family that had some, you know, disease or something. Y'all were trying to really work through this thing and help them with the hospital bills and all that. I'm going to go give you another $25,000. You know, and he does, blesses all these people. And he was always out there, you know, during this time. He was out there and he was always hearing, you know, the good things that they were saying and they were doing. He was rewarding and blessing them. And that's kind of like, you know, what our God is like. He's my Father. He's always with me. He's never to leave me nor to forsake me. Every time I stand on his promises, every time I speak his word, he's there to bless me. When he hears the good coming out of my mouth, he said, oh, here's another $25,000. Oh, you know, he told this one couple, he says, man, vacation time on this guy or something, you know, he'd never had a big vacation with his family. He'd always kind of foregone his vacation because he needed to work and stay there or whatever. Couldn't really afford to go out of town and go vacation. I want you to go down and stay at my home in Cancun. All right, and I've got a boat, a yacht down there, and y'all just spend a couple weeks down there. Take whoever you want to take down there just to have your big time, have your big vacation. I was like, whoa, I want to work for this guy, you know? But we do. We do work for the man. We're in the kingdom. We're in the business of winning souls for God and for Jesus and for the, you know, for the family. And we're in the family. We're not just working for him. He's my Father. And he is always with me. He's always amongst me. He's always beside me. As long as I'm keeping him beside me, you know, he's always there. And like I said, whenever we speak the word and when we start talking about what he's going to do for us and we're talking good and we're lifting, raising, magnifying, exalting his name, he's just blessing us. You know, he's helping us out, helping us through this, you know, trial or this trouble that we're going through. We're helping us to recover our stuff. Amen? Amen? So anyway, David's strengthening himself here. You know, in Jude 20, you don't have to turn there because it's just one chapter. So it's not, if we turn over there, you know, we'll read it and then we'll be back. And so anyway, Jude 20, it says that you can build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in other tongues. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you know, It's the Holy Ghost is a powerful tool that God has given us. He's more than just, you know, a good buddy, old friend, old pal to kind of rely on while Jesus was gone up to heaven. He left us with some power. He left us with the ability to have this awesome amount of strength on the inside of us and faith and encouragement. We can build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in other tongues. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to. All right? Not to wear out the Toy Story deal, but there's a line in Toy Story that's talking about getting moving buddies. And if you don't have one, get one. You know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, get the Holy Ghost. I mean, you have no idea what your life is like until you get the Holy Ghost. You're like, wow, I was missing all that? I mean, you know, so anyway, that's just a little plug for the Holy Ghost message. I'm not teaching on that right now. But you build yourself up praying, singing, spiritual songs. You know, we sing regular songs. We sing songs, you know, in the Spirit, songs of understanding. We pray in the Spirit. We pray with understanding. That's how you build yourself up. You pray and you praise God and you worship God and you pray and you praise God and you worship God. And you got to get a plan together too. Okay, you're going to build yourself up, but now what are you going to do? Now I've got to, okay, well, let's go to the playbook here and find out what our next play is here. What do we do? Okay, now we're in this situation. It's fourth and long. You know, there's only 12 seconds on the clock, and we got 50 yards before we can make a score in order to win here. All right, so now what are we going to do here, Coach? Coach? Well, Coach says here that if we will stand on his word and believe on him that, you know, we can pursue and we can overtake and we can recover all. All right, we can run a little, you know, out route. And then shoot a, you know, pass down the sideline there, and it's going to be wide open. We're going to win the game. It's pretty simple. If we just do it, you know, if we just do it, and it's going to work. That's about how easy it is. I mean, in one respect, it's that simple. God doesn't require you to, you know, I want you to go and climb Mount Everest and bring me back a twig off of a tree on the right side, you know, when the sun's setting, it's, you know. And then when you get back, you're going to have to, you know, go over here and do this and do that. No, it's basically just believe God. It's just basically believe him at his word that, you know, he's going to do all the work, in essence, of the battle, the fighting part. All we're going to have to do is stand and believe God. That's all. We're just going to stand and believe him. But we've got to study the word. We've got to get in his word to find out what to do next. And so, you know, David, he's strengthening himself. He's building himself up now, okay? And now he's, okay, now I need to get a word from God here on this thing. I need to find out what's my next move. What do I need to do here? And he calls for Abiathar the priest and asks him to bring the ephod or ephod to him, and he does. And so then David inquires of the Lord, verse 8, and it says, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail." Everybody say without fail. Without fail. I mean, just to reiterate what I was just speaking by the Holy Ghost here. Without fail, you are going to recover all. If you'll pursue, you will surely overtake, and without fail, you will recover all. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt. And that's encouraging. Is that not encouraging? I mean, that's confidence inside of me whenever God says, "Look, you want to go get all that stuff? Take off and go." And I tell you what, you're going to definitely catch up with them. And there's no way, there's absolutely no way. Everybody say, "No way."
No way.
Say, "No way."
No way.
Say, "No way," like you mean it.
No way.
No way. No way you can fail. It's impossible for you to fail. All you got to do is just believe. You just got to step out there and do it. Now, I'm just, you know, an optimist here. Maybe I'm just a good cheerleader for God. But I just don't understand how people don't realize this. You can't fail. If you trust God, you will not fail. And you don't give up until you win. I mean, that's just, you just don't give up. You just keep believing. You keep trying. You keep standing. You keep believing. You keep speaking the word. You know, you keep saying the word. You keep praying and believing. You keep talking victory. You keep talking overcoming. You keep talking recovering all. Oh, I'm getting all my stuff back. I'm not worried about that. I'm getting all my stuff back. Well, man, that's a lot of stuff you lost. Oh, yeah, but God's going to replenish all that. He's going to restore all that to me. You know, I'm going to get it all back. I'm not worried about that at all. In fact, I'm going to go on down here. I'm going to go ahead and do this next gig over here. I'm going to sing and worship God at my next little concert here with this other group. They're going to let me use some of their instruments. We're just going to keep on keeping on for Jesus. We're going to keep on worshiping and praising Him. We're going to keep on being a tool of God, and we're going to keep ministering, and we're going to get all that stuff back. Oh, that's confidence. Confidence, because we know we, without fail, we're going to recover all. All right, so we know in this situation also that this is not God who took all their stuff. Okay? Otherwise, God would not tell him, okay, go and take, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it how people can say, you know, well, you know, God, you know, is trying to teach him something here. Or, why wasn't God trying to teach him? Well, I mean, God's really got some problems here with some, you know, double thinking, double mindedness here. And he talks about that, you know, how that doesn't even work. So, I, how can he be taken away and then he's going to give it all back and he's going to fight himself and win against himself? And, you know, anyway. But, you know, it's the thief that comes to steal and kill. John 10:10. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. There it is again. More. You're getting more than just regular old life. You know, there's a lot of people that go through life and they live a good life and it's just a regular old good life. But then there's people who are Christians who live for God and then they live a good life that's abundantly a good life. I mean, they live a good. Everybody say it like you know it's a really good one. Say, good life. I mean, that's the kind of life I want to live, a good life. I mean, that's what he gives us life more abundantly. And you know the devil will come and he will try to when you're at your lowest point, just like David's here. You know, they were at their lowest point here. These men, there's a lot of men struggling, turmoil over this deal. David's the one had to, you know, he's the leader, he's the man of God here, and he has to go and get this strengthened from God. He's got to get encouraged and strengthen himself. He's got to get this plan from God. And these other guys out here, boy, they're picking out stones. You know, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good smooth one. Where's David at now? You know, that's their mentality. You know, the devil done crept into their thinking, their thought process there. But the devil, all he can do, he can't hold your stuff. He can't keep it. Because God's going to let you get it all back. He's going to help you get it all back. He's just kind of holding it, you know, trying to deceive you. He's trying to lie to you and tell you that you can't make it. And if you just stand and believe God, you're going to come out, like I said, stronger. Because you believed, your faith's going to be built up. And in all these cases here, I mean, you're going to come out with more stuff. I thought it was interesting. You know, we hear the I'm glad I've looked over here for that stone because I found some water. Water out of the rocks. Hallelujah, it's a miracle of God. I needed some water here. Mm-hmm. That's good water. Hallelujah. Cole, my middle son, he's a outdoorist, you know, type person that loves nature and, you know, loves animals and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's real big on, you know, the like National Geographic, if there were those around still. When I was growing up, I used to watch National Geographic on Channel 13 all the time, and Wild America, I think, was another one we watched, you know. But anyway, he loves those kind of shows. And ask him anything about any kind of animal that maybe even a strange, odd, out, off, you know, the map type animal. And I promise you, he's going to know 10, 15 facts about that animal. And you're going to be like, really? You know, but yeah, he's the man. He loves watching those cameras. So we bought him the Animal Planet, or Planet Earth, you know, DVD set. And so he just watches that, and he learns, you know, about how things grow and what animals live in which places. And anyway, there's an interesting scene in there that I always loved. I thought, man, that is picture perfect to represent or to show about how the devil is. And it's the scene of these elephants coming into water. Man, there's no rain, and you know, there's dry, and they're coming into this one water hole where every animal's coming into because there's no water. So there's lions. I mean, this whole pride of lions, like 30 plus lions. There's elephants, and there's, you know, all these different animals. And it's getting dark, and it's nighttime, and they got this crew out there filming, you know, and all this stuff. And the lions, you know, after they finally get, you know, all the drink they need, they've been laying around this water hole, and they're just elephants just roaming right around them. And you can see the elephants, they'll be walking along. Ooh, you know, there's a lion right there, you know, because they don't have good eyesight at night. And, man, this goes on for a while there. And then finally the lions, they start getting hungry. And they're thinking, hey, man, we're at this water hole with all these elephants. Talk about a meal. Yeah, buffet. Dale said, buffet. So, you know, now they're going to try to pick out this lion or this elephant. These lions are going to try to attack this elephant. And I thought it was the neatest thing to see. And only a Christian really catch this. You know, everybody probably watching never even really put it all together. But these lions are laying around, and you see a lot of the females, you know, the hunters, most of them. But you have some males in there, young males that would try to hunt too, but there's bigger, older lions. They're just laying around. I mean, they're just, all they're doing is laying around going, roar! Roar! Another one's over here going, roar! And they're laying all around out in this area. And I'm going to tell you something. Immediately, these lions are roaring all over the place, and you see these elephants start getting real nervous. Why? Man, they outweigh these lions. They could trample them. They're forgetting who they are. They're hearing the noise of the deceivers. And the devil, he's just like a toothless old roaring lion. He can't even hardly get up, you know, to go attack you. But that's what set fear into these elephants was that sound. We need to shut the sound of the devil out of our mind and start listening to God's word. And the person you hear the most, this is amazing, everybody, get your pens out. The person you hear the most is yourself. I just heard myself just now. There I am again. You hear yourself the most. You have to start speaking God's word. You have to start saying, I'm going to make it. You're going to have to start saying, I'm going to recover all my stuff. That's how you're going to build yourself. Shut the lion's voice out of your mind there, out of your head. Because all it's going to do is just make you nervous. You're going to start, and then I'm going to tell you something else you do. When you start listening to the devil, you start separating yourself from your family. Immediately, these lions, they start just kind of, some of them try to group up, and some of them just start kind of like, they're not sure where to go. They're in the dark, they can't see, they just hear these voices going on, you know, and they finally singled this one out that was coming up, you know, and they singled this one, and they chased it down, they got him. If he had just got to the group and not listened to the lions, just gone to the group and stayed together with his family, you know, he'd have made it. But we got to shut the devil's talk and deceitfulness and lies out of our mind. And we've got to speak the word. We've got to talk the word of God. Amen. And in this case here, let's jump over real quick. And we'll jump to one more story before we close out here. And it says David goes on and he does take 600 men, and then it drops down to about 400 because 200 just can't make it. They're just so wore down. And he goes on, he attacks from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except for 400 men who rode on camels and who had fled. And David recovered, verse 18. David recovered all, everybody say all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Now I'm going to tell you how much he recovered here. I'm not going to read every bit of it. But his spoil, they even called this, they labeled it. Because the next verse it says, they had took all the flocks and herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. You know, I guess, you know, obviously along the trail there, they've defeated this town, and they just collected all this stuff and all these spoils the Amalekites had. And David, he gets it and he recovers all that stuff. You know, and then he's going back and he's dropping people off and everything. But it says here, it's kind of neat. He had so much stuff that he starts, you know, giving this stuff out and donating some of the spoils to, let's see, he sent some of the spoil, verse 26, to the elders of Judah, saying, here's a present for you, okay, from the spoils of the enemy of the Lord. Then there were those in Bethel, and those in Ramoth, and the south, those in Jatir. And it just goes on and on for here for about five verses, all these people that he sent stuff to. I think he recovered all and maybe a little bit more. How about you? Amen. Well, this is a perfect example of what Mikey Maines and the branches are going to experience. They're going to recover all in the name of Jesus. And I want to read to you one more little instance here. Try not to expound too much on it, but let's turn over to 2 Kings. Ooh, this is a good one. This is a good one. And we'll try to go through this one fast because I do want to share just a little bit of testimony with it too, a little praise report. But I'll give you the background to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm sorry, 2 Kings. Did I say Corinthians? I meant Kings, I'm sorry. 2 Kings chapter 4. Boy, that's the wrong side of the Bible. I was way out there. All right, let's get back in Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4 talks about a woman that had helped, is a Shunammite woman, who had helped Elisha, fed him and gave him a place to stay. In fact, they think they built a room for him, you know, for whenever he would come through when he was passing through. You know, these prophets, I'm not going to spend too much. The prophets, would you know, travel from town to town and anyway, so whenever he was in certain towns, you know, they would either, you know, stay with so-and-so. You know, when they come here, you know, they'd stay with mom and dad or they'd stay over at Dale and Cheryl's house, you know, when they'd come through and spend the weekend, you know, ministering here. And they move on to another town, they'd stay with somebody else. Well, in this case, there was a Shunammite woman who had, and she was a notable woman. She had, you know, told him, hey, you just need to come stay at our house and fed him. And then they ended up making a room for him so when he'd come through, he'd stay. And so anyway, you know, because of all this, because of her graciousness and all this stuff, he inquires of, you know, trying to find out, you know, what is she lacking? What's she need? You know, is there anything we can do to kind of help her out? And I think he even has his servant kind of, Gehazi, I think is, how do you pronounce it anyway? Kind of has a servant, I think, kind of inquire about, you know, what, you know, how can we bless her? And he tells her she doesn't have a child, didn't have a son, and she wants to have a son. But they're old in age, you know, they're up in years. And so anyway, he tells her by the Spirit of God that she's going to have a child and tells her when she's going to have it and everything. And she's like, no, what now? Let's read this part. Okay. It says about in verse 16, chapter 4, about this time, next year you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Now, don't lie to me. I mean, is this the truth or not? Is this a promise I can stand on? Is this the word? Is this the word from the man? Basically, you know, she's, don't lie to me now. She's saying, don't lie to me. Is this true? Is this fact? Can I stand? Can I believe on this? All right. And it says in verse 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Verse 18, the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And so he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." Verse 20, when they had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he died. Now, wait a second. I thought God just gave her a promise of a son. Was God going to take that promise away? I don't think so. No, he's not going to take that away. And so she had a promise on this deal. She had a word, kind of like David did. She had a word from God on this deal. Pursue, overtake, recover all. Man, she lost. Her son was dead. And so what does she do? Hey, I'm finding that prophet that told me I was going to have a son, and we're going to make this right. We're going to get this solved. I'm going to get my son back here. We're going to get this fixed. And, of course, there's a whole teaching on that we don't have time to get into of how she held her confession through this entire situation. And every time, in every case, that she was asked or questioned about, hey, is everything okay with your son? Is everything okay with your husband? Is everything all right? You know, it is well. It is well. She never wavered. Now, wait a second. What gave her the confidence to do that? She had a word from God. She had a promise that said, I'm going to have a son. And no devil's going to take him away from me. And it is well. Because I still have a son. And it's going to be just a little bit. I'm going to get this prophet over here, and we're going to get that taken care of. So everything's just fine. It is well. All right? And they see her coming from afar off, and they sent, you know, messenger out, you know, ask what's going on, because, you know, something's up. You know, what's she doing coming after us? And then, well, she keeps on coming. They come back. She says everything's fine, you know, but, you know, it is well. And she finally gets there to the prophet, and he asks her again, and she answered, it is well. It is well. Now, long story short, because I want to share just a few minutes here. Elisha comes, he sends Gehazi on, and he tells Gehazi, which I think is kind of interesting too, but sends him with a staff, and he says, you go to the boy, and lay the staff on the boy's body there until I get there. He says, and don't speak to anybody on the way. You just run, you know. Don't get in doubt along the way. Don't listen and start talking about, well, this happened. Don't let the devil have an opportunity to get doubt and fear into the minds of other people, into your mind or whatever here. You just go on and you just go straight to the state of the task. You just go put the staff on that young boy till I get there. And she says, I'm not leaving you until you come. She's holding on to him, the prophet. So he's like, okay, we're going. So they go. And then he goes in and obviously the boy gets raised from the dead, and she's, you know, the boys return to her, and she recovers all because of her faith, because of her confidence, because she had a word from God. She stood on that, and she wasn't going to let go, and she was going to get her stuff back. She was going to get her child back. Amen? Okay, now, I tell you what, let's turn to Isaiah. Before I read this right here, though, let's go to chapter 40. Yeah, that's where we'll go to 40. All right, let's read this, and then I'm gonna share just a few minutes with, and we'll close out here. Chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Did you not know that God never sleeps and slumbers? And you have a problem, you have a need, he's not on vacation. Have you not heard this? I don't know. Let me get this straight here, okay? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. When you have these times that come in your life, it's going to seem like you don't have any strength in your body left. But God, He doesn't faint and He doesn't get weary. In fact, He gives power to those who are. fainting and weary. He's got so much strength on the inside of him that when you get in that situation, he's who you hook the battery cables up to get a little juice, a little jump start from. Right? The battery cables of faith. Hook on to the power of God. And it charges your battery. Builds you up. He never gets weary. He never faints. He's the source of strength. He's the source of power. The source of your recovering all. Amen? It says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord. Don't take off and jump on the words that you hear about the world, about what to do in the situation. You need to wait on God. You need to search the Scriptures. You know, we talked about getting a plan. You know, I take on a lot of challenges, we'll say. I love a challenge. You know, you got something you need to fix? Car, computer, video camera, iPad, something like that. You know, if it needs fixing, I love a challenge. I love to try to fix it. But you know what? I don't just, you know, go in there blind. I do my research. Ted, he's fixed some things, and he's a lot like me too in this situation. He'll go out on YouTube and Google, and he'll find out, you know, if there's any self-helps, you know, see somebody else doing it. He reads up on it. He gets some information on how to fix it, do this, do that. What's the best way, you know, okay, you know, I need to fix this on my car. You know, do some research. Find out in here in God's Word. Do some research. Do some studying. Okay, study to show yourself approved. Amen. You need to do some studying here. Study and find out how the best way to go about this thing is, and then go and take and follow the plan. Stick to the plan. Amen. Right here, we those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to wait on God. We need to listen for His instruction. We need to search the Scripture out, find out what He says, find out the steps we're going to take. We're going to get our strength back as we're waiting on God for that instruction. We're going to get our strength back. We're going to encourage ourselves. We're going to build ourselves up. And we're going to run and not be weary. And we're going to walk and we're not going to faint. Amen? We're going to have our strength renewed. Okay, present day. I know a lot of you know about this, but I just want to share this too, just as a present-day example of this right here. More so of the Shunammite woman type situation. Sissy and I, we have three boys and a baby girl. And, of course, you've heard a little bit about the Cassidy story. And, you know, Cassidy was a miracle child before she was a miracle child. If that makes sense. But anyway, she was a miracle child. It was interesting that we even called her the miracle baby, you know, because in theory we probably shouldn't have, you know, had a baby at that time. But anyway, we should call her a miracle baby. And there were times after we had the three boys, three of them, no girls, that, you know, we pretty much had given up. You know, we thought, well, you know, we've been believing for a girl. Had a name picked out from the time we got married for a little girl, you know, Cassidy. We always liked that name, Cassidy. Had that name picked out since the first, you know, time we thought about names for little girls. We've always had that name picked out. So, you know, this year my wife and I will be married 19 years. So we've had that name picked out for a long time. But, you know, she was our miracle. And when we found out, you know, we're having a baby girl, oh, we cried. And we, yes, hallelujah, praise God, you know, answered the prayers. And we're going to have that baby girl. And we're all excited. And then, you know, everything's going great. And then, of course, you may know a little bit about the story, how Sissy is my wife. Not to be confused for any of those that might actually listen to this on tape or CD or audio on the web. But Sissy is the name I've called her since third grade because her name is Cecilia, and that was her nickname, is Sissy. And that's all I ever knew her by, was Sissy, when I started dating her at, you know, high school senior year. So it's hard, you know, habits are hard to break like that. You know, somebody you've known all your life as Sissy. So when I say Sissy, I'm not talking about my sister. I'm talking about my wife. But anyway, so Sissy, placenta abrupted. And, you know, in the natural, you know, I'm not sure. Bottom line, it was just the devil, you know, that happened. But, you know, maybe we weren't necessarily real wise with, you know, timing of how we did things, you know, as far as working and trying to get all the stuff ready for Thanksgiving and staying up too late and all those things. But anyway, neither here nor there. But the bottom line is the devil came and tried to steal the life of our baby girl. And in doing so, also the life of Sissy, too, put both of them in grave danger. Without going into a lot of details of the story, we did end up getting to the hospital after our second trip, and they had to do emergency C-section on Sissy. Her placenta had abrupted, and she was losing a lot of blood. Sissy was, and of course, obviously, that relates to the baby losing a lot of blood, you know, as well. And so anyway, the baby, Cassidy, was delivered, and they did CPR for 10 minutes. And this is all documented. I'm reading. I did not know. Probably a good thing I didn't know. I did not realize some of these details until we actually were released from the hospital and they gave us the booklet of a report, you know, from this situation. But anyway, they did CPR for 10 minutes, and before they even got, you know, some just spontaneous movement out of her. And, of course, they had to ventilate her, and they were, you know, concerned about all kinds of brain damage. And it's just a lot of lies. Just a lot of roaring, you know. Just a lot of roar, you know. And I've written this story out several times, and I've shared it. And I've always said, I promised God that I would share it. That I would share it every chance I got with anybody I could, because it was such a touching story to me, but it is an encouragement of how God still does miracles today for those who will stand and believe on His Word. And the devil tried to take my daughter, and Sissy too, and not happening. You know, I had God's Word, you know, the promises of God, and I was not going to let the devil do that. Not going to happen. No, not my family, not my family, not my daughter, not my wife, this part I had to write, you know, was that I made a decision. I had to make a decision real quick that I was not going to listen to the roaring lion, and I wasn't going to listen to I would listen to them, but I wasn't going to accept the reports of the doctor. Because they were bad. I mean, the first EEG they did, which is a brain scan, was bad. I mean, the second one was just a little bit better, but was bad. There was not hardly any brain activity going on, you know. This went on for, you know, a couple days here. They did a procedure, and the doctors did everything that they could in the natural to do this. And I thanked them for everything they did, and I told them every time they came to me with a bad report that, you know, I thank you for what you're doing, and I believe God is going to give you wisdom on what to do, but I'm not worried about Cassidy. She's going to be just fine. And I said that every time, you know, whether in here felt like it or not. You know, I knew that God was going to come through. We sang songs, and we worshiped, and I, you know, got Mom and Dad to pray with us and called, you know, a couple people that I knew, you know, would stand and agree with us, and we got a miracle. I recovered all, and not just that. I want to, you know, to brag on her a little bit. We prayed every day. This was a part of our prayer. This we prayed. It got kind of long, but anyway, we prayed that she would be, she would have a quick and speedy and full recovery. That she would be perfect in every way. That she would be an athlete. That she would impress her teachers, her coaches. That she'd be head of her class. That she's probably the smartest one I've got, you know. Maybe should have prayed over those. But she's potty trained. Her vocabulary is out of this world. I mean, she is sharp as a tack. Athletic as all get out. I had to slow her down because she, you know, tries to crawl on everything, climb on everything, throw everything, ride everything. She can ride a tricycle. I don't know if I even told you yet, but she can get her tricycle. She actually can make the pedals go. She's 2.5, you know. And she's just amazing. Sissy and I, our family, we recovered all. And because we stood on God's word, We encouraged ourselves. I had scriptures out. I wrote the scriptures on the marker board, you know, where the nurses write their names on where they walk in. So if you walked in the room and you looked up to see what nurse was on there, you're going to read all these scriptures I wrote about how the bleeding had to stop and how Jairus' daughter was healed and how, you know, the woman with the issue of blood got healed because they stood in faith, they touched God, they reached out, they stood in faith, and I had all these scriptures on the board and the speedy recovery, that health shall spring forth speedily. That's what you see when you walk in our, because we rooted ourselves in God. We studied God. We got a plan. I didn't take what the devil told me. I didn't take what the roaring lion was saying. I took God's word, and I said God's word, and I spoke God's word. It works. Amen. Without fail, it works. And it works for you. It works for me. I know people out here can give the same testimonies of things that have happened in their life. Amanda has a great testimony about Adeline as well. So it works. Amen.